beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many. We are the Arrow Squad.
Hello, 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 Arrow Squad. This is The Flash. Welcome to episode 117 of Arrow Squad. Holy cow.
117, can you believe? I'm the chameleon, by the way. But oh my goodness, we are so close to the end of the season.
It is crazy. And this is episode number 21 called Honor Thy Fathers.
Yes. So this was a lot.
Wow. Yeah, there was a lot going on in this episode, despite, I think, a lot of people seem to were like, eh, it's a bit of a filler episode and not much going on. But when you actually sit down and take notes and watch it twice, and you realize there actually was a lot going on.
Yeah, there really is a lot going on. Now, I also do agree it was a filler episode, but it was a filler episode for a reason. They had to set up a lot of stuff, so... And there's a lot to chat about with this episode, I feel like.
I'm actually really excited to get into it because there's a lot of things in here that I liked. So shall we get to it? Because we don't actually have any news to report this week.
Yeah, we have no news. So I think you should jump right in with your ratings and overall impressions.
Gosh. All right, let's get right to it. So I am giving this a 9 out of 10 Dinah Rocks fist pumps.
So cute.
Oh man, Dinah is just killing it. That scene where Dinah and Mr. Terrific blast a hole in the floor to rescue the boys who are trapped in the room filling with cement, and we see them stick their faces in the hole. I just absolutely love that scene. If I could choose that as my favorite moment, I would. There just isn't a good sound clip to go with it. But I believe that was the first time we saw Dinah wearing her mask.
I think you're right on that, or at least the first clear clip of it. I don't know if she's worn it in a fight before briefly, but yeah.
Right. So it was her wearing the mask and then Curtis looking pretty proud that his T-spheres just saved Oliver and Diggle. Just the look on both of their faces. It was such a cool little moment that just made me smile, and it was great. It was such a fun, that you can tell that these guys are having fun on this show right now. And I love that moment. So that was a fun part in there. And then I just have to kind of squeal a little bit about booby traps. Cause man, that's something that's fun. And I didn't really realize we were missing it from our comic book show until we saw that one. I mean, I know there's been traps and elaborate things set up, but just good old fashioned comic book style booby traps was so much fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's something that seems to fit the tone of Arrow, which I think is something I bring up a lot. But when you do have so many shows going at once, and I know I and you and probably a lot of our listeners watch quite a lot of them, it is nice to be able to differentiate between the tone of all of them. And this style of booby traps is definitely fits Arrow's dynamic.
Exactly. So now that the fun stuff is presented first, let me drop to a serious note for a second, because...
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the episode, I actually loved it. I know it might sound a little weird, but I actually liked it more than the last two episodes, which I think, looking at our Facebook page and some of the feedback, I think I might be on opposite ends of what most of our listeners are, where they were really loving the last couple of episodes, and this one they kind of felt like we had already said as a filler. But here's why I like this one so much. This season is becoming such a huge payoff for being the fan of this show for 5 seasons, because it's really bringing everything full circle story-wise. I mean, the 5-year arc of Oliver's journey, so many things are being connected back to the first 2 seasons, which we all, you know, agree that was the best of Arrow. It's bringing so much weight and meaning to everything we have witnessed over this 5-story arc. The fact that they're connecting everything this season to what we saw from the very beginning. It's, like I said, just bringing so much meaning to what we've gotten to travel on this journey with Oliver. the story this time in this season being such a great personal battle for Oliver is also helping make Chase such a worthy villain. And it makes this season as strong as season two, in my humble opinion. I love that we're finishing back on Lian Yu. As the last couple episodes are coming in, we get to see Oliver return to Lian Yu. It's a way to tie all the flashbacks together up to this point, which I think is great. With his setup of being found there to cover for where he's been all this time, and he doesn't have to explain everything, I just thought that was fantastic writing. What a great idea. And it really sinks in the feeling of conclusion to this whole five-year story that we've had. And then we get to start the next chapter, which I hope goes for another 5 years of Arrow.
The thing with this episode, and I agree with you on a lot of it, is that I think that there's this automatic knee-jerk reaction to feeling like setup and exposition is filler. And it is in a way, and that was certainly my reaction when I first watched the episode, but it's not necessarily bad. Like you said, you have a very positive and not inaccurate or anything spin on it, that all of this setup is leading up to this big epic payoff, and we can kind of start to recognize it in this episode. Mm-hmm. I would say I do empathize with those who did see this as slow, because I did see this as slow. I think my main issue with it was the villain of the week. It feels too late in the season to bring in somebody like a WWE guest star. That's not exactly what I was expecting. But he didn't take up too much screen time. I ended up rating it a 7 out of 10. Which is...
The last two episodes you had me beat, and now we've kind of gone back to our normal routine here.
Yeah, to me, and again, I'm not looking at it with quite the positive spin you had. It doesn't hold a candle to the previous episodes in terms of like speed and pacing, but I recognize what you're saying, that, you know, we can definitely see through this. They're putting all of the players in place. They're putting all the pieces into play.
Okay.
And it's setting up to something epic, but it doesn't necessarily, to me, deliver anything epic right in this episode. So in terms of instant gratification, this one episode was a little slow to me, but 7 out of 10 is not low, really, for me by any means. It's lower than the last couple episodes, because they really did a great job with the last couple episodes. But they had some great content here. There were definitely some good team moments. The team dynamic is excellent right now, better than it has been in a long while. And I really just think it was everybody's getting their pieces put into play, and so everybody has to have all these talks about who's doing what and who's feeling what, and it all got to a place where it's like, is something supposed to happen? And all of that was packed into, you know, 5 minutes with the Prometheus face-off. So, yeah, I mean, 7 out of 10 seems slow, but it really isn't. I see where you're going with this.
Well, I don't want you to think of it, or listeners to think that I'm trying to say we had some epic payoff moments here. There was nothing epic, like, edge of your seat, oh my god! It was just the continuing story, which is what I've been trying to express the last couple weeks, that I love where this season is going, with it being a personal story for Oliver, and the progression of Stephen Amell's acting performance this season, and just everything being back grounded again, and the way they're connecting it back to everything we've witnessed over this long journey. That's what's really, really tugging at, maybe not about my emotions, but just as my fandom for the show, because I have stuck with it when so many people have given up on it because we had a couple bad seasons and things weren't always going so well. The fact that I have stuck with it, I feel like I'm being paid back for my little loyalty by having such great writing and great stories, and our characters just really, really developing. And like I said, everything is tying back to where it all started. And it's just like, oh my god, this feels so good. Thank you for, you know, acknowledging that me as a fan has stuck with you through all of it, because I'm getting to see the end of this 5-year journey.
Yeah, And it is nice to know that they are paying attention. This, you know, it, I mean, it's late in the game, right? There's only a couple episodes left, but it is, you know, fairly early to be setting up everything into play for a final showdown when we still have two episodes left. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to know that they are taking that into consideration and they are trying to build something epic, and they are bringing back, you know, a lot of, you know, bringing back Dolph in the flashbacks, definitely up the ante there, making sure the team is all together and, you know, kind of fixing some of the rifts that were bothering us in advance of the finale.
Right.
We now have OTA back to the right dynamic. The newbies are all in the best form they've been so far this season.
Right.
It seems like they're putting a lot of effort into this finale. And again, while I haven't necessarily seen the payoff yet, I can sense that it should be good, right? You know, if they're putting this effort in advance. So I'm with you, just a little more tentatively.
Well, yeah, for like a season finale type of payoff, but I'm also trying to describe like a payoff. It's a slow burn payoff. They're paying us back little by little by right. sticking with it. So yeah, definitely. And I mean, well, some of the points that you brought up, we'll dive in a little bit more, like the villain of the week idea and stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get through to it. But, you know, that's just our opening thoughts for sure. How about a favorite moment though? You must have picked something out of here that you really liked.
I did. I actually, you know, that was what started to bring up the score for me, was realizing I had multiple options for favorite moments.
Okay.
Because I did like a lot of the talks between the characters, Oliver and Thea, Oliver Diggle and Felicity, etc. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going with where I felt something happened in the episode, which was the face-off between Oliver and Prometheus.
In the stairwell?
The end one there, where they're really, it feels like a meeting of the minds or a battle of the minds. And it kind of visually looks like Oliver wins, but of course we know, you know, Prometheus still has tricks up his sleeve. And there's something very ominous and threatening and grand and comic book-esque about it, while it's, you know, just almost a verbal face-off. I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, and no, I know exactly what you're feeling, but we also will talk about this a little later in our notes, because there's a lot of speculation as to, you know, why did Chase turn himself in or give up or whatever. So we'll talk a little more in depth about that. But just the fact that of it being your favorite moment, I mean, it was intense because we didn't know what was going to happen, and you know, they're pretty evenly matched in hand-to-hand combat, so we had no idea how this was going to turn out. And the fact that Oliver could talk him down was a surprise to me. I didn't see that coming at all. You know, it's like, because Prometheus has been playing mind games with him and messing him up for so long.
Oh, yeah.
For Oliver to be able to turn that around on him and get the upper hand with his words, I thought was, whoa, that I didn't see that coming. That was good. That was cool. Way to go, Oliver.
It sort of leaves us with a double take where we're left wondering, did that really happen? Did he really turn himself in? You know, there's nothing like the big bad turning himself in two episodes before the finale to sort of up the ante, because we know there has to be something even bigger and badder, right? So I enjoyed it. And I like anything that leaves us having to discuss theories, you know, who was really in control there, what was intentional, what wasn't, who's going to be doing, you know, the Prometheus's villainy plans while he's in prison. Anything that has theory and speculation is always really fun for fans, I think, leading into the finale.
Well, we'll get to that again later, but right now I tried to find a clip, because I have your favorite scene here, and I was trying to think which is going to be the best part of that back and forth. And really, I could only go with how Oliver finished it off. So we got a little bit of a clip here to bring us back to that moment.
Okay.
Cullen's lawyer. He represented your father.
I knew that already.
You don't know what your father asked him to do. Adrian, he was going to disown you. Not because you're illegitimate. Because you're insane. You're sick. And your father knew it. You spent all this time trying to trying to honor the memory of a man who was ashamed of you. Now, my father wasn't perfect. But at least I know he never would have given up on me.
So dark, right?
And you know, just watching how Chase reacts to what Oliver said in that moment, I believed Oliver.
Yeah,
kind of won in that moment, and Chase was like, okay, you know what, you got me, you're right, you got me, and I don't deserve to live. So yeah, we'll dive into that a little more. I think save that for more of our end discussion, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me. All right, it's your turn. Now you tell us, what was the best moment from the episode for you?
Well, I already said it would have been with Dinah and Terrific sticking their face in the hole. I just loved it so much. And I think we're going to be using that as our cover page or whatever for this episode, because yes, that was just I begged and pleaded to get Cammy to do that for us.
I was happy to.
So to find a sound clip, another scene that I thought was very, very powerful, I loved the scene, the flashbacks this time. I know people were, even us, we were saying, oh, it's really good to not have flashbacks. Great. And some of our listeners were saying, oh, I've finally done with the flashbacks. And then they were upset they were getting some. But I actually thought the flashbacks in this episode were so well done and ties into what I was saying about how it's bringing the whole story full circle. He's going to be back on Leah and you again. So I really enjoyed them. And what I loved was having Anatoly there with him when they first got to Leah and you. Yeah. And Anatoly kept questioning everything Oliver was doing and saying. And
right.
It, to me, when I actually stood back and looked at it from a different perspective, Anatoly really was the pre-Diggle, or the flashback Diggle, however you want to put it. He continues to dish out wisdom for Oliver, just like Diggle always does, except back then Oliver wasn't quite ready to accept it yet, like he does when he listens to Diggle. But if you look at it, the relationship is very much the same. They're brothers, they're best friends. They protect and help and support each other, so it's a very similar relationship. And the things that Anatoly says, you can't help but just want to, you know, slap him on the back. Yeah, like, you're right. So
it is. It's that sage advice that you want to hear right before the final battle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I pulled one clip out from one of their conversations that really, really sinks in. Anatoly driving home some wisdom that Oliver's just not wanting to take yet. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. It's my father. He's the reason I have to go back the way I have to go back.
That video. He wants you to save your home. I do not think Capuchon is what he had in mind.
Putting on the heart is the only way I know how to save my city.
I told you, Oliver, hood is just a piece of cloth. Not that you listen to me anyway.
The hood, Anatoly, is an identity.
One you think channels monster inside you.
And protects the people that are closest to me. I do it this way. My enemies will target the hood, not the ones I care for.
You are many things, Oliver Queen. But until today, I did not count naive as one of them. The people closest to you always pay the most for your sins. You are paying for your father's. Who will pay for yours?
That's heavy.
Dun, dun, dun.
What a heavy question,
huh? The talks this episode were really heavy. All of them. Like, some of the discussions Oliver and Thea had, you know, which feels so pent up because we've been missing Thea this whole time, mm-hmm, really, really got into some of the nitty-gritty of what the show's all about. So, yeah, the writing this episode was certainly not bad at all.
No, it was good. And I mean, the performances of our actors too, they really delivered the lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of that to get into, but before we do, we actually got some pre-show feedback. We have comments from Aaron. We got an email from STLDC fan. And then the first one that we'll start with is a voicemail that we got from Destiny Dazzler. Now, Destiny left us a voicemail last week on our show, and she had some great thoughts and amazing insight into Felicity's wheelchair storyline. And you, Flash, posed a question to her about sort of how she felt about the resolution. And she got back to us on that, and I'm really excited to share her thoughts because I was really touched by her message.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So I'll play that right now and then we'll talk a bit more about it.
Sure.
Hi, Rose Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. Flash, you asked me how I felt about the fact that Felicity was walking at the end of last week's episode. And honestly, this time around, it didn't bother me that much. The first time when her and Oliver broke up and she walked out, that bothered me a lot. But this time around, it didn't bother me as much. I'm so thankful that the story was told at all. I'm so thankful for the way Emily portrayed it. And I can't give her enough high praise for what she did. She did a phenomenal job. And I'm just honestly so grateful and thankful for the storyline. It gave me a new hope and reminded me to not give up, that I'll walk one day, and to not give up on fighting for it and working hard for it, and just to not lose hope. And so I'm so thankful for that. I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Oh, man.
Right?
It's so moving, Dazzler, just to hear you pull something out of a TV show that we all love so much. The fact that you can connect to something and pull some hope and some strength for yourself because you can relate to a character in a storyline, that's very, very moving and really, really touches us deeply.
Yeah, it does. I loved hearing your thoughts. I loved hearing the hope that you get from it. And it is so moving to hear how these stories about superheroes and heroines, they do touch us, and they've touched you. And that was so nice to hear.
Yeah, and thank you so much for feeling safe and comfortable enough to share your feelings, like some really, really heartfelt emotions with us. We really appreciate that, and we just love having you with us here. It's so awesome.
We do.
Yeah. All right. So who's is this somebody new? STLDC fan. I wonder if that's short for St. Louis or something.
Possibly. So this is somebody who's caught up on our podcast and just wanted to drop us a line. They said, let's see, that really enjoyed catching up on our podcast. Mentions here some interesting questions. I'll go through these pretty quickly because a lot of this does touch on some previous storylines that aren't just from last episode. But they say, I thought it was weird Lila didn't bring up the prison that Oliver has on Leon Yu. they clearly hold people without trial as well. So come on, Diggle.
That's a good point.
Yeah, she has, he or she has some thoughts about Felicity and Curtis filling a lot of the same roles, and had some questions about why Felicity didn't understand Oliver, a lot of those things that did get resolved in some of the more recent episodes as well. They said they would like to see lots more of our Green Arrow and Black Canary, not counting season 2 Sarah. Yeah, some great thoughts there.
Yeah. Well, I can't really argue the point about why Felicity didn't understand Oliver not telling her about William, because William's mom said he couldn't tell anyone. So he was really just kind of owning up to that promise that he made. And I don't know.
He did tell, like, Malcolm Merlin, Thea.
Yeah,
quite a few people.
He told people that. So it's a gray area. It's a little bit of a messy area, but you can understand both sides of the argument. Really, is what I'm getting at. Yeah,
I love the gray areas on Arrow.
This part about Curtis can replace Felicity because he can do everything that she can do. I know there's a lot of us that love Felicity, and you may not like her as much, so I guess I can understand that perspective too, because you're not wrong. Curtis is just as good as her in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I don't know if that's something they're looking at doing down the line. I really don't think so, because Felicity is such a beloved character. Yeah. I don't know if they would get rid of her.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, from a technical standpoint, their skills actually don't overlap all that much. Felicity does a lot more of the software, and Curtis does a lot more of the hardware, and the two are distinct in this show. That does put so much emphasis on tech. Sometimes when the writing becomes quite quick, it can definitely seem like they do the same things, but they really have put some effort into keeping that distinction, and obviously Curtis's fighting style and Felicity's fighting style are a little different.
Very true.
And then also, you know, they have, to their credit, you know, put effort into these character storylines to where they are definitely two independent people as well. And on a show that focuses so much on tech and grounded, real-ish technology and weaponry, it certainly makes sense for a team like this to have two experts on it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're about to lose our hero and heroine here anytime soon, but I can see that they should probably put some effort into making sure that their skills remain distinct.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
And then moving on, I'm going to actually go through this time, because as always, we've got a wonderfully long pre-show feedback from our friend Aaron. And I went through and highlighted a few points this time. Often you're the one reading, so I'm going to read it this time, because she actually reached out to me personally. I had asked her if she wanted to talk Legends with me, that she could send me, something to discuss. And she sent me this super long, wonderful, like, textbook size email going, basically covering the whole season of Legends of Tomorrow, and it's awesome. I read through it, and she's got so much in there, and I just wanted to give a little shout out, you know, publicly here, that I will get back to it, and I will respond. It's going to take me probably at least half an hour to really get a nice detailed response, but I just love it. I love the idea of that. And for any of our other listeners, if you actually want to personally get in touch with me and discuss these TV shows outside of the podcast, that would be great. I would love to just have conversations and stuff. So by all means, follow Aaron's lead, because it's a lot of fun. And Aaron, thank you for that. I will respond, I promise, just once I get a bit of time, because man, oh man, that was like reading a few chapters in a book. It was fun. So she says, her pre-show feedback from last week, she's talking about the elevator scene last week, that she just doesn't quite believe Oliver could have pulled that off, because she figures he lost a lot of blood and had muscle exhaustion setting in. So it was a great fun scene, but she had to suspend her belief a little bit that he could actually lift Felicity with one arm. I had to mention this comment, which I thought was funny. She's like, I don't know what Flash is going to do when Felicity and Dinah have a scene together, but I'm sure his reaction will be good. Ha. Yeah. I might just have to go into a separate room by myself and be very quiet. So, yeah, that will be fun. And it's actually kind of surprising. They really haven't had a lot of, if any, scenes together.
Yeah, not that they haven't really, but I would love to see them interact a bit.
Yeah.
You know who I want to see interact again is Felicity and Thea. I love their sisterhood duo.
That's true. We haven't seen that for a while too, and they're very, very good together in a sister kind of way. So Aaron goes on, she says, again, I just really hope they never forget Felicity's injury and act like things such as EMPs don't affect her unless they make it clear Curtis upgraded the chip, because too often we see injured characters being healed and the injuries only coming back for plot drama when they need to have tension. Yeah, and that's a very strong point. And that's kind of calls back to what Destiny Dazzler was talking about, and why I asked her how did she feel about that, because it does seem to, they do seem to overcome some of these things awfully quickly, where, you know, me personally, I thought it would have been nice to see Felicity have to deal with being in a wheelchair for a little bit longer, and, you know, even though, when it first happened, she was there for quite a few episodes, but yeah, so Aaron was just expressing similar feelings. She also says she's definitely worried for Lila, given she's always just being a guest star, so she's the one you could lose for dramatic effect, so that's kind of where her guess is that who we might lose this season. She also said it definitely would be sad if Thea left, but they haven't been using her much as of late, so they might just write her off, because just because a character leaves doesn't mean you have to kill them. So that's true. So I guess you really, we could look at what the producers said, that we're going to be losing some characters, and I guess it doesn't always mean they're going to die, so we just might not have some return full time.
Yeah. I'm, you know, they haven't really been as straightforward about who's going to die or not die or how many will die or who's going to, you know, in previous seasons, they've pretty openly teased that, right? So it's interesting going into this finale to see what we can and can't really theorize about.
Right. Exactly. She kind of finishes off. She's said we had some great points about Lila obtaining the T-spheres last week. So that's kind of cool. She agreed with us there. She's definitely excited to see Nyssa come back. If Legends of Tomorrow isn't going to use her, then let Arrow rock her out. No to William being on the show any more than a few scattered guest appearances. And she agrees that Emily and Steven do have great chemistry. And she also just gave us a little compliment saying that the two of us have definitely been very awesome regarding civility on this podcast. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Can you believe if a hero and a villain can get along into an Arrow podcast together, anybody can get along.
Anybody can get along. Exactly. Mind you, they don't see what we do behind the microphones here. I mean, the battle is a little crazy sometimes.
We fight to the death. No, we really don't.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for the pre-show feedback. Oh, that's hard to say. I keep tripping over that. But thank you. Let's get into our story points, shall we?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously the big main story point storyline for this week, in my opinion, was the return of the whole father thing with Robert Queen, thus the title, Honor Thy Fathers. And we had some new material this week. So we had previous or past tapes of Robert Queen. We find out, you know, he has killed somebody before. Dun, dun, dun. And then we see the tape that he left for Thea as well. So some new/old material. What did you think of the use and inclusion of tapes of Robert Queen? How did that format work for you?
Well, I have to ask first, like, did we know that Oliver had those tapes before? Or is this the first time we ever saw that he had them?
I feel like a bad fan for not knowing this, but I feel like this is the first time I've heard of them.
Because all like for some reason all I can remember is having the journal with the list and stuff in it. I can't recall the tapes, but I just don't remember. But I think it's just a nice callback to why he originally started his journey. I mean, to honor his father. He didn't really know everything about his dad. He didn't know how far gone down the dark path he had gone, but he really was just doing it to honor his dad. And I like the connection. I like the callback to that, as to why this whole journey we've been on began for Oliver.
Right. I thought it was fun to get that whole, the concept of new material without having it be something like, you know, when we found out, and I'm not sure if this, I'd never mentioned this on the podcast previously, but we knew that the actor who was playing Robert Queen had come back and filmed some more material. I don't remember when that was kind of buzzed about. But I had kind of wondered at the time, was it going to be in the context of like visions or new flashbacks or whatever? And I liked this more realistic approach with the tapes. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, what about finding out that he had killed before?
That didn't shock me at all. Did that shock you?
No, you know what? It didn't shock me at all either. I mean, we knew as viewers that he was mixed up with people like Merlin, so it, to me, it just kind of made sense that he also has kind of, what would you call them, like things to shove under the rug.
Right. Dust under the rug, skeletons in the closet, all of those, you know, deathly metaphors.
Yes, exactly. So it didn't bother you at all either?
No, it didn't seem shocking because as Thea pointed out, you know, all of their parents are corrupt, you know, not to get like break the fourth wall, but of course, if they're superheroes, all of their parents are going to have dirty backstories. And I thought they had kind of hinted at the fact that Robert Queen was obviously business-wise in bed with bad people. So that was portrayed as a big shocking thing. And to me, it was like, oh, he killed a guy almost on accident. It didn't seem shocking to me in the context of Arrow. But no. I get what they were going for with it.
Yeah, and it didn't look like he was really meaning to. It did look kind of like an accident. It's the cover-up of it that makes him a bit of a, you know, a scar on his reputation. I don't know how you want to put it. Sure. But yeah, I don't think he did. He wasn't malicious about it and tried to throw the guy into the vat of whatever that was. But
right.
So yeah, I think it was more the cover-up, and I think that's kind of started him on maybe part of his darkness, which of course we don't know the entire story about. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was cool to see, though, how all of that and all of what he went through led to the tape that we, you know, saw Thea watched. I really enjoyed getting to see her get that message. After all she's gone through with her own heroine journey and her own issues, finding out about her real father and her real father's a villain and all of that, getting that sort of grounded perspective from Robert, I thought was really nice. I liked that message. It was not too sappy for me.
No. And what I really struggled with Thea was just when she was talking to Oliver and she was basically trying to convince him that their own parents were awful and they raised them to be just like them, just the same as them. To me, that was kind of a gut punch. To can you imagine realizing what we've watched develop over this story throughout the years, that she's right, that their parents were kind of grooming them to be very much like them without, I don't know if the parents even realized it, but the kids definitely didn't realize it. And now that Oliver acknowledges it, I want to see him help her get to where he is and be able to deal with it together, because he's obviously been able to get past it. It seems like it's all collapsing or caving in on her right now, like she's just realizing the extent of all of it, and she's really starting to, you know, to be flattened from the weight of it, the burden of it. So I want to, he's gotten quite a bit past that, so I really want to see him grab her and keep her from falling too far so that they can, you know, get through it together.
Yeah, I think that really that was the outcome I took away from this overall plot line was, as you're saying, Oliver and Thea need to stick together and he kind of needs to help her through this. And really, what needs to happen with them is the exact opposite of what he did before. Whereas before he was like, I don't like your choices, and basically shamed her into her being run out of town. Mm-hmm. This new understanding Oliver, who has accepted the dark side in himself and all of that, not to use Star Wars terminology, he would be in a better place to actually help her through this and not be like, oh, you know, you criticized my bad girlfriend choices, you need to leave town. So I definitely appreciated this dynamic much better, and it showed some really good character growth, I think, on both of their parts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it brings it to what we'd said before, that they're the scenes with the two of them are so strong. Like you swear that the two of them actually are brother and sister. There's such a strong bond between the two actors.
They do well
when they're on screen together, that you'd swear they are brother and sister, and it really, really plays well.
Yeah, they've done such a good job. I've commented almost every episode how I'm almost surprised by how much I've missed Thea since she's been gone, but I really think she adds to Oliver's journey, and having, you know, she's really his last remaining family member other than William, who we never see and don't know. So it's good to see her growth and her working through her own heroine journey as well.
Yeah, exactly. But one point I want to make, though, I think once they're done, once Oliver finishes this angle of doing things for your parents, I think it needs to be finished, because our characters have grown and are realizing that they have to live for themselves. So I'm excited to see them move beyond their family burdens and see where they can go from this.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's something that will be resolved this season. Like, will they have a, you know, how we've seen in some previous seasons, like I think the end of season 3, where they kind of ended everything calmly, like Oliver gets some time to go off into suburbia and, you know, Thea gets to run the team for a while. I'm wondering if we're going to get a calm ending like that at the end of season 5, where they all have their growth places or if it's going to still all be cliffhangers up in the air. I'm curious.
Yeah, not sure.
I mean, I kind of know a little bit, but I won't spoil it.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's consider move on it like to, let's talk a little bit about Prometheus since he is our big bad.
Villains. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would be.
I enjoyed what we saw of Prometheus this episode. You know what I realized about Prometheus this episode is how much more I like him than other villains. Which I know you mentioned you didn't really consider Cody Rhodes' guest spot as like villain of the week, but
yeah, we'll get to that for sure.
Oh yeah, but just other villains in general aren't really holding a candle to Prometheus, and that's a good thing. That's what we want, you know, in our big bad. And scenes where he is present are much better. So I'm really enjoying it. I like our villain this season. Mm-hmm. He can stay for a while.
Well, I mean, the elephant in the room here is he gave up. He turned himself in.
Did he, though?
Well, I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
I mean, when at first I thought, you know, wow, Oliver figured out a way to get to him mentally, like he's been doing to Oliver. But then I started thinking, Chase might be up to something. He still has a long plan in place.
Right. He's playing the long game. Well, yeah. Two more episode long game.
Yeah. But like I said before, his initial reaction to what Oliver was saying was so believable that I thought Oliver did beat him in the mind game at that point. So it's like, what's he up to? Because that smile at the end when he was in prison and he was watching the news and he was watching Oliver's press conference.
Yeah.
That smile at the end, it's either he planned this all along and Oliver's just falling right into his trap, or it was something that Oliver was saying during the press conference triggered a new idea in his head and where he can go from there. It's like, okay, I gave up, I turned in, Oliver beat me. And then something in Oliver's press conference when he just kind of went, I know how I can get out of this and can beat you again. So I don't know. It can go either way.
Yeah. I think if we're comparing Oliver's journey to Prometheus's journey, one of the big things that Oliver sort of just learned in the past couple episodes is that he can do this hero thing more than just for his father. He can do this more than just trying to honor a legacy. You know, he in and of himself as a hero without being tied to his father's sins or motives or, you know, vengeances is still, you know, a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were to parallel that with hopefully maybe what Prometheus is learning, is that Prometheus may be a villain outside of just avenging his dad, you know? And if that's what he's learning, then that sets us up for a very equal hero and villain where they both have their own agendas outside of just avenging their fathers, maybe?
Yeah, and it would make sense because we're watching Oliver grow, not just into the Green Arrow, but we're watching him grow as a hero, as a human being, as I just said, to live for themselves. At the same time, we're watching Prometheus possibly grow beyond just the revenge plot for his dad. He is growing into his own villain, his own style of bad guy, right?
Right.
So at the same time, that I mean, the hero and the villain following parallel paths, but one is dark and one is light. I mean, it's a really cool way that they're doing it, if that's what's happening.
I hope so.
Yeah, like it's just helping what's making this season so strong and the story so strong, because it's very personal, very grounded, very one-on-one or one against the other kind of thing. That's what I'm loving so much about this season.
So you see Prometheus as a worthy foe, yes?
Yeah. Oh, he's a worthy foe. He is the big bad. You're asking if I think there is a bigger bad guy behind the scenes or something. Because we had talked about it a few weeks ago that could Talia possibly be in charge. And now I'm actually thinking no. I think with what they have done with Prometheus and like I said, this very personal battle with Oliver, I think it would be disappointing if it ends up that he's working for someone else. That would really cheapen all of this build-up for Prometheus. They have to continue to keep him as the main big bad, or it would fizzle out real quick.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but I'm not sure, honestly, if he is the big bad or not. That's why I had that question. It's one of the few areas where I don't have a clear opinion. Okay. I'm not sure if Prometheus is turning himself in because he has this master plan that he's willing to safely execute from behind bars and he remains the big bad all along, or if he is, you know, being helped along by somebody bigger or even by minions. And I think it's been teased, and I don't know how openly it's been teased, but that, you know, he'll have some minion style help, but I don't know about whether or not he has a bigger person behind him. And that's what I'm curious about.
Well, we know Tally's coming back, so I guess that will answer that for us.
Yeah. And he makes that comment in this episode about, you know, he and Oliver sort of being trained by the same source or having the same creator or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
That final fight in the stairwell, if that was the finale, if that was the big showdown that we've been waiting for, that everything's been building up to, if that's what it was, did you feel that it was a bit lackluster, not living up to the buildup all season long?
Yes, because I don't think that was the final fight.
Okay.
They're going to have a big, epic Oliver versus Prometheus face-off in the finale, guaranteed.
Okay. I hope so. I hope so, because
this was just to not steal from that spotlight,
I mean, it wasn't a bad fight in the stairwell when they're tumbling and throwing each other down the stairs and stuff. It wasn't too bad, but we've actually seen them fight harder and more violently with each other in previous episodes, so that's why I thought this one better not be the last one with him giving himself in and he's thrown in jail, because it just wasn't... That's the one nitpick I have. It wasn't a payoff for me as the final fight, so I really hope I see one more big showdown where it's all-out fight-to-the-death kind of scenario.
I have no doubt that we'll see another big face-off between the two of them. At least one.
Right. All right, well, you brought up the villain of the week idea earlier, so I just wanted to address it a little bit, because I didn't mind having this guy in there. What did he call himself? I forget what the character's name was.
Oh, goodness. It's like,
he couldn't
feel
pain, is all I remember.
Yeah, it's some sort of zombie death something. I want to say the Undertaker, but that's a completely different WWE thing. Yeah. It's not that.
That's okay.
But it's something along those lines.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't mind. I really didn't get the villain of the week feel from it. But if you think about it, we actually haven't had a villain of the week for quite a while where, you know, they were like single one-off episodes dealing with one bad guy. We actually haven't had that in quite a while when you think about it. So that's why I didn't mind this one. And I didn't actually see it as such that he was villain of the week. It was more of a side story that was pretty heavily connected to the fact that Oliver was hunting down Chase. It's like he was, whether it was Prometheus getting them to do things like go on heists or whatever it was they were doing, they were distracting parts of the team so that it would leave Oliver on his own to deal with Prometheus one-on-one. So I felt it very, very strongly was connected and was important and not a villain of the week. Do you get what I'm saying? You get the angle I'm trying to throw
at
you?
I do. Okay. Yeah, it's to isolate Oliver. And that makes sense. And again, this whole episode is about putting people in the right place, both mentally and physically, to set up for their, you know, final fights, final journey, final path, right? So I get that.
Right.
But I don't know. It wasn't doing it for me. It felt pretty low energy. But there were still some funny moments, and the team did great. Like the moments you pointed out. And also I loved the scene where Oliver and Diggle get trapped in the cement.
Yeah.
That was so, it was simultaneously action and field and funny, and the Oliver and Diggle dynamic is so great, and that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it was really just all about the team for me. I found myself kind of tuning out whenever we were faced with whatever Cody's character is. Not that he did a bad job, it just felt like an odd timing. But I get what you're saying, that he is there to isolate Oliver, and that makes sense to me. But
there was a good, there was a cool scene though, because when Dinah was taking out all of the gunmen with her gun, she was shooting them all down, and then it became Wild Dog, was it Curtis or who? There was a couple of them that were facing down Cody, and they were filling him full of bullets and whatever, and he's just standing there taking it, and Dinah had to jump in and save the boys, basically. She jumped down and, you know, threw her canary cry at him, and that he just kind of said, whoa, what was that? I mean, that whole sequence was pretty cool, because, you know, the boys were doing what they could, shooting their guns, and weren't getting anywhere, because this guy was just absorbing it and still coming forward. So, you know, enter Dinah to save the day, save the boys. That, to me, was a fun scene.
I'm always here for girls saving the day. So I'm here. I feel you. It's not something that I'm really, like, aggressively disliked. It's just, you know, felt like a little slower. But, you know, it takes some time to put everybody in the right place. So I get it.
Okay. I'm doing my best.
You're doing great.
Let's get to some flashbacks.
Going into the flashbacks. Your favorite moment was actually from the flashbacks.
Uh-huh.
And there was also another big moment I'm sure you liked from the flashbacks as well. Dolph returns.
Uh-huh. I did not expect to see him show up. Not on the island. Like, I'm just wondering how he knew Oliver was there, how he knew to go there and find him, and why. I mean, is he just there to get him? Is it just a revenge thing? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But I like it.
Anything where we get to theorize, though.
Yeah, but I like it that it's the final flashback villain to deal with, because I didn't want them to waste Dolph as a character. To me, he's been such an imposing figure, and I don't think they used him enough. I wanted to see a lot more of him, so I'm very happy that he showed up as surprisingly as he did. And I can't wait to see what happens in the last little bit of flashbacks. To me, that's fun. Obviously, Oliver's going to have to deal with them somehow, but what are we going to do in the last two episodes? What's going to happen? I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I am enjoying the setup in the flashbacks, which is not the norm for me. But yeah, it was really fun. I like that they're already there on the island, so that kind of gets us away from, I think, something I was wondering about, whether the finale would lead up to them approaching the island. So yeah, all the pieces are falling into place there, and I like that Dolph was added to the puzzle, and I did not expect it at all, so I like being surprised.
Yeah.
You mentioned you like seeing the origin of where Oliver gets the idea for the hood, and the flashbacks are tying everything together.
Yeah.
What is it you would still like to see in the flashbacks before we get back to present day?
Well, obviously we got to see what's going to happen with Dolph. So that's going to be a big chunk of it, but we all know he's got to get himself back into the island life to make it look like he's been there a while. And I'm pretty 99.9% sure that what Anatoly gave him in the backpack there was the disguise, the wig and the beard to make him look like he's been there for 5 years without a barber, as Anatoly said. So as much as everybody's been waiting for Oliver to look like the Green Arrow from the comic books, it's actually just going to be a disguise and not actual facial hair growth and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's going to be fun to see. It's going to be fun to see him don that look, because we've been waiting 5 years to kind of see that look, and I think that'll be neat.
From season one, episode one.
Just in the opening credits too. It's not, we never even actually saw him looking like that, really.
Yeah,
too much. But I God, what am I gonna see in the flashbacks? You're also asking me if it's going to be a cliffhanger, and I don't really think there's going to be a cliffhanger in the flashbacks, because they're trying to tie them up and finish them off. But I think for the present day, how are they going to leave the present day? Because we've only got two episodes left. And we know Laurel is coming back. So is that where they're going to leave us hanging, that Black Siren shows up?
Yeah, present day, they will. We know that they're going to tease Black Siren. We know that she will pop up at some point in the following season, but that she's not the big bad in the following season. And I think that that's really going to tie into Dinah's storyline, actually, present day, because they have said that she'll face off against Dinah. And Dinah has regular status in season 6, so obviously, you know, that will turn out well for us. Do not worry, my friends.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Yeah, it should be fun. I think it'll be fun. I'm Team Dinah in that particular face-off, so I'm happy to see that go down.
Well, let me throw that one back at you. I mean, what do you think is going to happen with the flashbacks versus or plus present day? What are you thinking is going to...
Flashbacks will get resolved. Present day will be a cliffhanger.
Okay.
That's my vote. That's right. What I think is going to happen. Right. Flashbacks, you know, like we've talked about for this week, you know, we have a set person to take down now, Dolph, who will either get taken down or, you know, possibly reappear present day at some point. And that's, you know, however that goes down is fine, but we're still going to see Oliver alone-ish on the island-ish after 5 years-ish at the end of the season. We will see the beginning of season 1 Oliver. And I don't think they're really going to mess with that. I think they will take it properly full circle without, you know, too many bells and whistles other than the wig.
Yeah.
But yeah. Present day, I don't think it's going to get resolved at all. You know, they have that renewal. They have stuff in mind for season 6. I think they will toss everything into a big cliffhanger that will leave people having to speculate, because we don't have flashbacks to speculate about anymore. And I think that'll be fun.
And like I said, it's going to be the start of a new chapter. We're bringing resolution to the 5-year arc, and I hope we get to see the start of a new arc.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I would love to have Arrow go 10 seasons, because it's just, I'm so involved, so wrapped up in these characters and their stories, that I don't want it to end. Whether it's fantastic and epic, or it's just, this wasn't bad. It, to me, it doesn't matter. I'm still loving being part of this world, and I want them to carry it forward. Just continue on.
Well, we know we at least have one full season 6 after that, right. And possibly a couple more. I mean, you know, they still have got great ratings. They're still one of the top shows on the network. Mm-hmm. I think we can pull a couple more seasons out of it if they all choose to. But
and that means you and me stick around too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here. The villain never really goes away.
Well, then that means I can't go away either, because it's my job you under wraps. Yeah.
Yeah, you're under contract to take down the villain. And yeah, we will be here. Speaking of team-ups...
Yeah, let's talk about our team a little bit.
Yeah, we touched on quite a few of these storylines already. But for Dinah, Curtis, and Renee, they each kind of have their own little thing going, some more than others. What are you liking about each of those three team member storylines, or what are you wanting to see for them before the end of the season?
Well, we haven't talked about Renee and Lance much. Let's talk a little bit about them, because I think there were some great scenes with them this time between Renee and Lance, just deepening their friendship and their on-screen chemistry together. You know, and we kind of complained about the timing of it last week, and this week I didn't get that same feeling. It didn't feel as shoehorned in. It was a lot better flow. The way the scenes transitioned between each other, I think, felt a lot better. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
I was all right with it. It definitely fit the theme of the episode. I will give it that.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It still feels oddly placed in the grand scheme of the season for me, but the reasoning for that, I totally understand. I know they tried a couple things with Wild Dog to start with, and this is sort of the one they ended on, and I get it, but I don't know. Wild Dog was really starting to grow on me, not to the point where he would be my favorite character, but to the point where, like, I wasn't actively hoping he would leave. Mm-hmm. And this just kind of, it feels there. But I have enjoyed Lance's performance in this storyline quite a lot.
Yeah.
He's a really strong player in this particular area, I think.
I think so. But I have to ask, why, oh, why did Renee not show up at the hearing to win back custody of his kid? What is happening there? Any idea?
Well, I do.
Oh, is this because of trailer? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, do you know the title of the next episode?
No.
Do you want to know the title?
Yeah, the title's fine. What's the title?
The title is Missing.
Hmm. Well, that could tie into William, could tie into Renee. But okay, so pretend you don't know about next week. Why do you think he wouldn't have shown up? Because it's not like he went anywhere. He was out in the field with the team.
I think he was possibly taken. Maybe more than just him. Maybe multiple people have been taken.
Hmm. Interesting.
What do you think? You have a positive spin on his storyline. What about the rest of the team members? I know you're feeling positively about Dinah.
Yeah, we'll talk about Dinah. Let me bring up Curtis a little bit.
Yeah.
Just something fun. I noticed something tonight. Or last night, I guess. How much he changes in appearance from nerdy lab Curtis to Mr. Terrific Curtis. And it's his hairstyle. And I don't know why I didn't pick up on it, but I just think it's such a great transformation from nerd to tough guy. Because when he's just Curtis in the lab, his hair's big, afro, puffy, and it really geeks him out. But when he goes into Mr. Terrific mode, it's all tightly braided and, you know, slick on his head, and it really changes his face and brings a toughness down to him. And it really stood out for some reason in this episode, just the transition.
I think they put some effort into creating iconic looks for their characters, similar to how in a comic book you might have like a certain outfit or a certain style that a character always wears, and that becomes their look, their costume, whether or not it is a costume. And I think that's kind of what they're doing for Curtis, both in the cave and out of it, similar to how they have the, you know, kind of iconic ponytail and glasses for Felicity, or the suit, like the business suit for Mayor Oliver versus the Green Arrow suit for Oliver. So,
right.
It's pretty cool.
Well, and then his T-spheres. I mean, they obviously continue to improve. Like, that was so cool when they cut that hole in the concrete floor. You know, we hadn't seen that yet. So it just seems like every time he uses them, they're becoming a little more advanced, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I like the T-spheres, and I was ready to dislike them, to be honest with you.
Really? They're tech, though.
Yeah, but something about them felt odd to me. I thought they would be, like, kind of cheesy and jokey, you know? And I was like, I don't want cheesy on this show. But they really aren't. They're fun and kind of, you know, they fit the tone, and they're not, like, a joke. You know, they actually work, and they actually help, and I enjoy them. So.
Well, good. Good, good. Now, before we get to Dinah, because you know I want to. I don't know how to describe it, a huge feeling of relief and just, when you saw Oliver put on the green suit again.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay. I almost picked that as my favorite moment as well. And I can't believe I actually forgot to make a note about that. But that was possibly my favorite line in this episode, was when he shows up and Curtis is like, oh, you know, you put it back on. And Oliver's like, Felicity has a way with words. I love that type of humor coming from Oliver. It reminded me of the favorite line that I picked from last week's episode, when he, you know, does the deadlift and the elevator shaft. And he's like, aren't you glad I never listened to you? that kind of sort of dry, straight-faced, sarcastic humor is such a good blend between the sort of darkened, hardened Oliver that we have in this incarnation of him and the kind of funny, cocky Oliver from the comics. I love that, and it often does. I'm biased, of course, but it often does come out when he's talking to or about Felicity. So that always is a nice little twist to it. But it was so fun. I loved getting to see that. You had just commented last episode that we haven't seen that in a while, so you must have been happy as well.
I totally was, because it really bothered me seeing the hero of our show run around in just a black sweater and hockey mask. I couldn't accept it. I understood why. I knew the story behind it, but I'm not watching the Black Vigilante. I'm watching the Green Arrow. Come on. So it was cool. It was just a neat moment. I actually kind of squealed a bit when I saw that. That was exciting.
Yeah, it was a fun return, and they've had the nice dramatic camera pans and all of that to make it, you know, be a moment. So it was really fun.
Exactly.
I liked it.
Exactly. All right, can I talk about Dinah now?
You could talk about Dinah now.
Man,
you mentioned there were a couple of favorite moments with her performance out in the field, but what are you thinking as well about Dinah outside of her new sort of canary persona? What are you thinking about in the team / cop Dinah?
She's just fitting in everywhere. It's something about, it's got to be the actress Juliana Hargovy, because she has chemistry with everybody she's on screen with. I mean, tonight was the first time we saw her really work with Lance, and they had a bit of a sense of humor, mocking each other, going back and forth thing, and it was great. They were funny.
Yeah.
You know, she seems to have that with everybody on screen. And I love her role as a cop, because we haven't had, I think we talked about this before, we haven't had a police officer on the show since Lance has moved up. So it's great to have her fill that part and get to see her, because that's kind of her normal life when she's not, you know, on the superhero team. So I think she fits that fine too. She looks confident. She looks tough. She looks like she's been doing it for a long time. Really, really got to give props to Juliana, because she's playing the role to perfection, and I love it. I mean, she's by far my favorite character next to Roy to be on the show. And that's saying a lot, because I absolutely loved Roy and I miss Roy so much. Now, if I could only ask for one thing, even more so than Canary versus Laurel, would be Roy and Dinah on screen together. Bring back Roy!
They had a mention of Roy in this episode. Of course, Roy is a little bit busy getting married in real life at the moment. But other than that, they did talk about him for a second.
Yeah, I like that they still bring him up once in a while, because he was integral. He was a huge part of the show and the team for a couple seasons there. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You may get your wish, Flash, at some point. Probably not this season, but at some point.
Now,
I was never the hugest Roy fan, but I didn't dislike him either. It just never stood out to me. But it's always interesting to see which characters they bring back in terms of mentioning them from time to time versus the ones that kind of like leave and never get mentioned. And yeah. Roy does get mentioned from time to time, so
he does. Yeah. And they've tossed around the rumor of him coming back, so I hope, my fingers are crossed, my toes are crossed, I'm hoping.
You've had some good
again.
Luck with your wish list. I think good luck might be headed your way. You might get to see him.
I mean, it's going to be cool when we do see Canary face Black Siren. I mean, can you imagine the Canary cries going toe-to-toe? That's going to be fun to see.
I wouldn't call it toe-to-toe. There's a clear winner in this pair. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dinah is, I think, by far right. more powerful for sure. But Black Siren, she also looked to be higher up in level than our Laurel Lance was. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, Black Siren is, you know, better trained fighter than Laurel was, or, you know,
yeah,
has more meta abilities. But yeah, I think Dinah will pull ahead even with her.
I think so too.
She has a cooler costume, so, like, obviously.
It's all about that mask, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say something a little bit about Felicity, because,
yeah,
you know, we've been kind of, yeah, some of us have been harping on her off and on throughout the last couple seasons, but did you feel that she seemed a little more so back to the old Felicity this episode? She seemed fun and quirky and cute. And then at the same time, she showed wisdom, which to me shows that she's grown over these 5 years. And I'm happy where she is right now. Right now, like after at the end of this episode, I like where our character Felicity is.
I loved her this episode, actually. I consciously try to stop myself from using the phrase back to the old whatever for any character. Because, you know, that's not what we're actually rooting for. You know, we want them to be like back to their best self, not like not like a static character who never changes. But I think you are so right. She is in her best self, I think, right now. She has the humor, the wisdom, all those characteristics that you've mentioned kind of all blended together at this point. And it's working so well within the team. It's working so well for dialogue. It feels like the writing for her is great. I'm really enjoying it. Also, her outfit was pretty fantastic.
Usually her outfits are. They always accentuate her.
She was in a Dolce & Gabbana dress and Louis Vuitton shoes, if anybody was curious.
That's pretty funny. Well, how about one last point about Thea? How did you feel about having her back? I know we've kind of tossed her around a little bit, but as I said, I really thought the scenes with her and Oliver were really great. And I really like how they really seem like they're actually siblings on screen there. I'm just not comfortable with her being so down on everything. I don't want to see her crash any farther into, you know, to a troubled, depressive kind of state. I hope Oliver can save her.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, Thea, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if it's a case where Thea should have been brought back a couple episodes ago so they would have more time for her and Oliver to interact and rebuild, rather than when she left a couple episodes ago.
Right.
But yeah, I'm with you. I don't like seeing Thea in a dark spot for too long, because I do like seeing her as sort of the powerful miniature Moira, you know, pragmatic, you know, the best of all three, a blend of all of the best points of all three of her parents, I guess.
Right.
I've missed her perspective in quite a few of the last couple episodes where I felt like she could talk sense into them. So I'm hoping that version of her is back. But it was refreshing to see her back in any state, honestly. She's a fun character to watch, especially across from Oliver.
I think the part for me is when it got me my hopes up for a second, and Oliver's like, hey, we got to go out on a mission. You want to join us? And I thought, yeah, go. Oh, and she's like, no, thanks. I was like, aw.
For the finale, maybe she'll suit up. That's not a spoiler. I have no idea.
I would love to see Speedy out in action. And I really, really loved her when she was out there fighting side by side with them. She was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They need to break that costume back out again, I think.
I think so. All right, Cammie, shall we get to some transmissions?
We shall.
All right, here we go. We got a few.
Yes.
Some awesome ones. What are we going to kick it off with first?
Let's start with the email we got from I'm Just Here for Felicity.
Okay, what do they have to say this week?
Well, they are here to agree with you. They say, Detective Dinah is awesome, quote, or maybe not drink enough. Anatoly always has the best lines, put away the milk cartons. Thea is back, yay. While I'm over the Haas nickname, it was sweet hearing Quentin for a change saying it. Also a question here, why couldn't Renee rescue Oliver and Diggle while Dinah and Curtis chase the bad guys? Or even better, let Thea get them out. Speaking of Thea, I loved her line to Oliver about how just because he says something doesn't make it the law. Great scenes between Oliver and Thea at the end. A good episode overall.
Totally agree with everything they said right there.
Yes.
Except, if it wasn't Dinah and Curtis rescuing them, then we wouldn't have had that great little scene of them sticking their head in the hole.
Solid point. There's your silver lining.
Yeah. Cool.
We also have a voicemail in from Destiny Dazzler about this week's episode.
Oh, all right. And here it is.
Hi, Arrow Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. So I'm really excited that Thea's back. I missed her a lot. And it was cool to see Cody Rhodes back again. The whole Prometheus storyline and Prometheus getting caught by the team was really anticlimactic to me. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling he's not done, so I'm still worried about William's safety a little bit. But it will be interesting to see where the story goes in the finale. And I'm curious as to why Renee didn't show up to the hearing to get his daughter back. So that will be interesting. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Well, thank you for that, Dazzler. Yeah, she's wondering the same thing we're wondering.
Yeah. This episode did leave us with a lot of questions, I think.
Yeah.
Those are all really good points.
They're good points, and we don't have really much answers for them. Why didn't Renee show up? And, you know, what's going on with William and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a lot of things we got to figure out.
Yeah, I completely agree, but they're all the same questions we had, so it's good to know that we're all on the same page there.
Yeah, that is awesome. We're all on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Dazzler, for your second voicemail this week. Just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got an email from Stormy again.
Mm-hmm.
What does Stormy have to say?
Stormy wrote in and she says, while this was a lull episode before the final two, there was still stuff I really loved. Oliver and Felicity's talk as he is watching the video of his dad. Felicity made great points and Oliver knew she was right. I'm so happy that talk with her led him to put on the Arrow suit. All the queen sibling scenes were fantastic. Welcome back, Thea. This episode proved why we need her on the show. I'm glad Oliver finally let her have the video of their dad and she watched it. Oliver and Thea aren't their parents. Plus, they do need to let the past go. I thought Thea's view of their parents not being saints was truthful and refreshing. The small Diggle and Felicity scene was great. That friendship doesn't get enough scenes.
That's so
predictions
true.
It is so true. Predictions for next week. Wild Dog was the first kidnapped, which prevented him from making his custody hearing. Black Siren is totally a chase puppet. And if Lance gets kidnapped, she'll be the one to do it. Not looking forward to her being back, but I made it through her being Black Canary. Can't wait for the face-off between Nyssa and her big sister. She needs to drop some truth on Talia that she was in on their dad being killed. As for the question on the Facebook page about deaths this season, I'm guessing Evelyn, Samantha, possibly Malcolm, and my fingers are crossed for Slade. That is a lot.
Wow.
Those are such great thoughts, though. I always love hearing from Stormy.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Great. I mean, she's also on page with a lot of things that we're thinking as well. Her point about Nyssa dropping some truth on Taya, that's probably what's going to cause the fight between the two of them. So that'll be exciting when it comes.
That should be a catalyst scene. I'm looking forward to that if that happens.
I like her idea that Black Siren is working for Chase and she's the one that kidnaps Lance if he's the next to go, just based on the fact that she thinks Wild Dog is kidnapped. So that's cool that there's a few of you thinking that. I did not go down that line of thought at all, and now that's got me really wondering. But
yeah.
Could you imagine Lance being kidnapped by Black Siren and it's he's seeing his daughter but it's not her? That is going to be some crazy scenes.
That'll be a trip. I definitely think that it's likely we'll see something akin to that. Yeah.
And her last point about who might be dying this season, I think I made a point on the Facebook page about, because a lot of people are guessing Evelyn, and a lot of these real, real minor characters. And I have a feeling that if the producers or the showrunners threw out the hint that not everyone's going to make it to the end, and they are going to kill someone, it's got to be someone that carries some weight on the show. To me, Evelyn is a write-off. She's already long gone. Nobody cares about her anymore. It would have no emotional punch if she's the one that died. We'd all just be like, oh, yay, woo!
I don't know.
I think it has to be someone with a little bit more attachment to us, the viewers, and to the show. What do you think?
I mean, it's possible Evelyn will die, but I'm not sure she will be the only death. She may be like a prelude, and then there will be a larger or more significant character that we've attached to for longer. I just do not know who that is.
Yeah, and I mean, are we even going to see Slade? Like, it's funny that she threw him in there. Are we going to see him or just... I mean, you'd think we'd have to. They brought the mask back. So what is that? Unless that's just tying it, bringing it full circle to season two. I mean, I'd be happy with that too. But if he does show up, that could be pretty crazy. The thing is, if he shows up, he'll totally steal all the thunder from Prometheus.
So maybe. I don't. It depends on the context in which he shows up as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of unanswered questions with Slade and what Slade's upcoming appearance on the show would look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that email. We got one from Green Butterfly, and she says, did I blink? Did I look away at the wrong time? Did they really leave us on the cliffhanger last week of Prometheus finding William and then not check back in on that? They mentioned Felicity looking for William and failing to find him, which is giving Oliver a false sense of security. But I don't think they showed the viewer where William is, and that disappointed me. The episode as a whole was really good, though. I love the action. I love seeing Thea again. Loved another instance of the T-Spears being awesome. 8 out of 10 bribed boat rides. Happy Superhero Friday. Love the Green Butterfly.
Aww.
Yeah. Again, she's got all these cute little emoticons in there. Yeah, you know, she brings up a good point that we did not see anything about William this episode. When the last thing we saw last week was Chase talking to him when he got off the school bus,
right?
And now Chase is back in Star City. So like, where's William? What's happened? Like, I guess they're saving that probably for the big finale, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, I think William is supposed to be a giant question mark at this point. So yeah. I'm curious when he will properly appear again.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, Cammy, let's finish her off. We got an email from Christy. What does Christy have to say?
Christy writes in and says, I love the strategy Chase used against Team Arrow. He kidnapped William, but didn't immediately tell them. Instead, he let himself get caught and allowed them to think they had won the game. I'm a little surprised that no one was suspicious of how easily Chase surrendered. I don't think I realized how important Thea is until this episode. Without her, Oliver literally has no family at all. I think that's a really important role in his life that serves as an anchor for him. I was a little bored by the flashbacks this episode until Kovar showed up at the end. That twist makes the lead up to getting rescued even more exciting.
Yeah, you know, she's right about Oliver, that without Thea, he really has no family. And that does anchor him, because even though he was kind of like the party boy in the beginning when we first saw him, it's family is what's always kept him grounded, really.
Yeah, and his sort of duty to Thea at this point, with them not having any parents around. Again, I know when I say Thea's his last remaining family member, there is, of course, William. But as an audience, we don't know William, and Oliver barely knows William. So it really doesn't make up, in terms of story, for the connection we know and have seen between Oliver and Thea.
Yeah, William is really nothing. There's no connection. There's no emotional tie there at all.
Yeah.
But this actually just reminded me. I actually loved in the video that their dad left for Thea when he was saying, like, your brother can't handle himself. He's going to need you to look after him. I actually loved that part, because it it's the Oliver from season one that, like I had just said, it was the party boy. Their dad always thought Thea was the more mature, responsible one, and that she's going to have to look after her older brother. I love that part. And it ties in perfectly with what Christy was saying here about her being his anchor. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. So overall, Flash, this was a pretty good episode.
That kind of brings us to the end, doesn't it?
It does.
It was a good episode. Did I bring up your rating of it at all? Did I make you feel a little bit better about it than the way you started?
You know, I can see a universe in which I am a positive hero and rate it higher. I'm not saying that this universe.
Oh, I see. This is on alternate Earth or something like that.
Yeah.
Earth 33.
Yeah. There exists a timeline where the rating goes up. But we don't if that's this timeline.
Well, good. At least I managed to bring a little bit of light to your grayish type of perspective on this episode. I know you liked it, but
always.
I enjoyed it a lot. So I'm curious. We got two more to go. What do you think's going to happen? I mean, it's titled Missing. And without any spoilers, what do you think is going to happen to lead into our finale?
I think if we have the mindset that the finale is sort of a two-act between the next two episodes, mm-hmm. I'm guessing the villain may win the first act.
Okay, yeah, I like that idea. That's a cool concept when they use that. And then is it going to end in a cliffhanger? There's been rumors that it is going to be a cliffhanger.
Yes. Yeah, I'm definitely team cliffhanger. Present day cliffhanger.
But what kind of cliffhanger? What's going to happen? Is it we don't kill the villain? Or is something brand new going to come into our show to kick off next season?
Well, I think that the cliffhanger, I would guess, would involve Oliver being separated from Star City.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Separate from elsewhere. Moved elsewhere. Going elsewhere. Something like that.
Interesting.
Is that vague enough?
It's pretty vague. I have no idea. I am just extremely excited as to where our show is going. I cannot wait for the next two episodes. I don't want our show to end, but I cannot wait to see how it's going to end.
Should be fun. And we have no breaks in the upcoming episodes. So it's week to week. So we will see you guys next week.
Yes. See you next week. This is The Flash signing out.
And this is The Chameleon. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.